This is Jenny Garth from 90210 OMG. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competition series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh, modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honeyoak cabinets. Hello, 21st century style. Totally 90s House special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 Central on HGTV.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexroad in for Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing. $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa at 102.5 underscore MD is the Twitter account you need. So tweet at that account, at 102.5 underscore MD, with your worst office Christmas party experience. Now, you can change the name of your employer if you still work there and don't want to get in trouble. So, at 1025 underscore MD, worst holiday Christmas party experience for the office. It's got to be an office situation. And I'm concerned about where this could go, but we'll see.
Yeah, this could be.
At 1025 underscore MD, and we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Titans lose yesterday 24-21 to the Houston Texans, almost all but eliminating their chances to win the AFC South. The Texans took complete control in the fourth quarter. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us here on the program. And Corey, to me, there's a lot of reasons that this team didn't win the game yesterday. We've talked about almost all of them, but number one for me, the defense could not get stops when it mattered the most, and Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins made big plays.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of the opposite of what we've seen for the last six, 7 weeks, where, you know, the Titans always managed to come up with that play or just the play in the critical moment, and they just couldn't do it. Like you said, they got 14-14, and then the Texans went right back down the field. And, you know, you turn the football over, you're going to get burned. And, you know, they turned the football over. The Texans turned the football over, too. But it was just too much for them to overcome this time.
Yeah, I mean, Corey, I think you asked a question. You know, they did a really good job on Hopkins, or, you know, you got to give something else up to do that. But then he ultimately emerges, you know, when it really matters most. But I think I was surprised probably most by Houston's ability to consistently run the football in the game. I mean, really, they battered away all day. I think Carlos Hyde doesn't get enough credit. And I thought, you know, that really played an underrated role in the whole thing. And obviously, he ends up scoring, you know, on the outside run. I believe that was the winning touchdown, right? Yes, that was the winning touchdown. Now, I was really, I guess, surprised and disappointed by that aspect of this game from the Titans' perspective.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Joe, because I asked Jeffrey Simmons about it in the post game, and I just said, you could never get a handle, you know, on the run game. You struggle to stop the run more than you normally do. And he looked at me in all seriousness and said, we struggled to stop the run today? I said, yeah, you gave up 140 yards. Now, I think that 11-yard touchdown run might have been the longest run they gave up the entire day. I don't think they gave up the long one. But like you said, everything they gave up was 3, 4, 6, 7. You know, they didn't put them in very many long situations, and the Texans were able to move the ball, you know, up and down the field. You give up 140 yards rushing, you give up 140 yards rushing. That's a higher number than you want to do. And you brought up DeAndre Hopkins. He had two catches through three quarters. You know, you did a nice job on him. You had him locked down. Now Stills got you instead, but you had Hopkins locked down, and then he goes for 25 and for 35 in some critical situations. And, you know, I think pretty much all the Titans said, and they're right, that's just kind of what great players do sometimes. And I always hate that answer of, you know, they get paid to, you know, well, you get paid to. But, you know, look, Texans are a good team, and yesterday the Titans weren't a good enough team.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. Titans lose 24-21. They can still get into the playoffs. My question about special teams to you, Corey, and we've talked about this on the show for basically, like, I don't know, what week is it? Going into week 16? Basically 18 weeks on the show we've talked about this. My question, I don't care about LeSean Sims fielding the punt. That's not the reason they lost the game. I don't know why people are going to gravitate towards that other than it was the last thing they saw. But there's a blocked field goal. The fake punt was a question. To me, the bigger question is, did the Tennessee Titans, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, did the Tennessee Titans handle their special teams issues correctly at any point during the season from the summer camp all the way through yesterday?
Well, I think you've got to go back to summer camp when they did not bring another kicker in to get ready for the season. And I know they were confident in Succop and confident in his ability to get healthy and to be their guy. I mean, Succop's been a really good kicker for a long time. I understand having the confidence in him. But you get to carry, what, 90 guys in the summer? I think 90 is the number, and you can't carry another kicker to, you know, feel good about to go into the season. And, you know, it's just – it's tough. It's tough. You know, the thing with Succop, you know, that's strange, though, is all the extra points look good. And the extra point kick is, what, 33 yards now? It's not a chip shot. I think he is 14 for his last 14 over the last three games on the extra point. And for some reason, you know, the field goal looks different than the extra point at this point. This extra point, I mean, this field goal never got off the ground. I mean, that thing was, what, like 4 feet high when it got blocked? But yeah, you know, you're right. It's just, you feel like they've addressed the kicking game with their fingers crossed the whole way. And I don't understand. Okay. I understand why you kick short. I do, but I don't understand why Santoso's on the roster if you're going to kick short, because that's 2 weeks in a row that's what they've done. I mean, Succop can't kick short. I don't understand.
No, I mean, I think the Santoso thing, I can't figure it out. He's 9 for 17 on touchbacks again.
And was a brilliant onside kick by him as well.
You know, it was nice. I think Reed recovered it, and he charged it before it could take the big hop. So he did a nice job on it. But, you know, Succop's been doing this a long time. You figure he'd have all the tricks for the onside kick. And that's why I'm surprised that, you know, he's not the onside kick guy at the very least on the kickoff. And I asked him about that after the game. He's like, no, we knew Santoso was the guy for the onside kick. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, we could talk the kicking issues all day. I think you go back to Cody Parkey, and I understand he's double doink, and, you know, and people in Chicago would say, oh, you've got to get him away from your franchise. But he was 3 for 3. He was 9 for 12 on touchbacks. And obviously you look back now and it feels like Succop was rushed back. And at that point, you're probably better off sticking with Parkey.
Yeah, the one thing I don't know, how much is Succop making? I mean, is it a monetary decision? Does that play into it? I don't know. They what is it, last year they gave him a new deal?
Yeah, 5 year, $20 million in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, is it as simple as they don't want to invest anymore in their kicking game? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. Or just maybe they really believe in the guy. And there's a lot of reason to believe in Succop. There is. But I know that everybody kind of goes out, you know, when they line up for a field goal right now, it's fingers crossed.
Corey, now looking ahead, you got the Saints coming to town. The Steelers did lose yesterday to Buffalo, which gives them a little bit of help. You can still get in should the Bucs beat the Texans. There are avenues for the Tennessee Titans to get into the playoffs, but it almost all starts with two wins over the Saints and Texans. How do you feel with their current state of their secondary and special teams to get two wins in these final 2 weeks?
It's, you know, before the loss, yesterday, I thought it's going to be tough. When they were 2-4, I thought it was going to be tough. And when they were, 6-5, I thought it was going to be tough. I mean, it's just, when you looked at this last stretch of games, you thought it was going to be tough. And they got through the Colts game, and they got through the Raiders game, and you were like, wow. Those were two big ones. They beat the Chiefs as well, those three. When they knocked off those three, you were like, wow. Really, really had a chance. But, that's why it was going to be so hard, is because you had to win all of these. And you had to get to 10 wins probably, and that's where they still got to probably get to, is 10 victories for the season. And it's not going to be easy. It's not impossible, but it's not going to be easy, because I didn't think they were terrible yesterday. I had a lot of fans telling me yesterday, oh, this is what the Titans do. They build up a game, and then they go out there and they lay an egg. I don't think they laid an egg yesterday. They played okay. They got burned by turnovers. They missed a field goal, and they didn't come up with the critical stop late. I mean, that's kind of it. And they lost a game. Unfortunately, when you're behind the eight ball, you can't do that many times. And so it's not impossible, but, it's – I guess if you're asking me if I'm pushing my chips on the table for a playoff trip, I will not push those chips in the table.
Oh, 9-7 and sitting at home for the playoffs. Never heard of that before. Corey Curtis, thank you for joining us, man.
9-7, yeah. Yep. That could be very interesting. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that stuff.
You too as well, Corey. News 2's Corey Curtis. That interview ended on a dejected note there. He's just like, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Another wah-wah.
Here's a question, and I don't know if we should waste time on this today. Maybe this is more of a Tuesday-Wednesday discussion, but would you rather them be 8-8?
Just to change it up a little bit?
Just a little bit of a change-up.
Change it up.
Maybe a better, two or three spots higher in the draft. I don't know. I've got so many thoughts on this draft thing. I think people are such knuckleheads when it comes to the draft. The New England Patriots don't even need a first-round pick, and they win 6 Super Bowls. So I don't – this – oh, if they're picking 17th, they're never going to get a good player. Well, they got Jeffrey Simmons at 19, so –
They got A.J. Brown in the second round. He's all right.
Yeah, and there was some good from yesterday, so let's get to that, because I do think they can beat the Saints. I do think they can go on the road and beat the Texans. I do think the Steelers could go 1-1. I do think the Texans could lose to the Bucs. There's a lot of things – this is not over, and so while yesterday was a huge blow to the Titans' chances to make the playoffs, it is certainly not over, and some of the reasons are because of the things that still happened yesterday, some of the good. They didn't quit. They fought back, and a couple of guys made a bunch of plays. We'll get to some of the good. We'll try to make it
look at your sunshine.
Monday.
You are sunshiny.
No, I'm constantly cynical, so it's really hard for me to do this. So I'll say some positive things when we come back right here at Morning Drive. Yes, man, 125 a game.
Wah, wah.
Reed back in on defense for Houston. Tannehill again. Got all kinds of time. No pressure whatsoever, and it results in a touchdown. A.J. Brown, he's been winning his matchup all day, and now they're an extra point away from tying it.
Titans lose 24-21 to the Texans yesterday at Nissan Stadium. We'll get to the crowd in a second, Joe. Always a topic of conversation when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. Joe Rexrow from The Athletic in for Derek Mason. Also, a reminder, and Marquise, Munson, as he is known on the show as our producer.
Yeah, if you notice, I didn't answer you the first time.
Yeah, it's true. You ignored me, which is like everyone else in my life. Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa, $100 gift card. The question on Twitter was, Munson, what?
Yeah, the worst Christmas office, Christmas party, office, whatever, experience.
So worst Christmas office party experience. We're going to get a lot of people in trouble, I feel like, on this one.
Well, I put in the tweet that you did not have to name your employer.
Yeah, I don't think we should do that part of it.
Yeah, just don't.
But
don't name your employer.
Worst office place. And let's maybe avoid accusing people of felonies or something.
Yes.
Let's avoid that. But just tweet us at 1025_MD, and we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa at the end of the show. Each and every day this week, we'll have 4 more questions for you. We've been doing it all week last week. Joe, there are tons of positives here, and I thought a couple of different things about the Titans' loss yesterday. I had a couple people tweet me about moral victories. I don't believe in that in the NFL. There's no such thing as a moral victory in the NFL. But I do think that this team showed a lot of fight, a lot of guts. They came back down 14-0. the play by Jeffrey Simmons and Jayon Brown at the goal line when they were about to get their butts run out of the building, that play brought the entire team back. They have been very good coming out at halftime. They were even against Carolina when they were down big and ended up losing. They came out and handed the ball to Derrick Henry, went right down the field and scored a touchdown. They came out with a dominant 9-minute drive in the third quarter, and A.J. Brown just pulled a muscle, pat myself on the back there. My Anquan Boldin comparison on draft night.
It's pretty good.
Feeling pretty good about that right now.
That's pretty good. No, A.J. Brown, I mean, he's, 893 now. He's going to pass 1,000. And this is a franchise. People who are fans of this franchise for a long time know the struggle of finding great receivers. And I think the Titans have found someone who, I mean, there were times yesterday, Brayden, it was like, he's as dominant as anybody on that field. You just give him the ball, mm-hmm. and he's catching everything, and he's really a weapon. I agree. Look, they fought back. You have to give them credit for that. Three of their four offensive possessions in the second half, they scored touchdowns. Like you said, you make two plays at the goal line, or this maybe isn't dramatic late at all, with the Vaccaro pick early and then the Simmons one, like you said. That was the Texans already kind of rolling and asserting themselves and really
the defense never really showed me anything yesterday at all. They made two big plays in the end zone, but those are not plays you normally make. I mean, Duke Johnson was wide open on that throw. It was a great play by Kenny Vaccaro.
It was. I mean, like, sitting there, you get the whole field perspective, from the press box, and still it was like, whoa, it was like he came out of the screen from that perspective. Like, where the heck did he come from? But, yeah, no, I mean, they were overmatched defensively. We've talked a lot about their kicking issues. The offense still did a lot to fight back. Derrick Henry was not – you could tell Derrick Henry was not 100%.
21 carries for, I think, 85
yards.
85 yards, yeah. So over 4 yards a carry. They ran for 160 yards on the ground.
Yeah,
five and a half.
Jonnu big play. Jonnu Smith play.
They have to get Jonnu Smith. I think Jonnu Smith is he's not A.J. Brown territory necessarily, but his athletic ability, which we have said for years, is off the charts. Yeah. He needs to be involved in the offense as a priority. The way A.J. Brown has become, 13 targets yesterday for A.J. Brown. Jonnu Smith, I love the one of my favorite plays in the history of Nissan Stadium is a pitch sweep to Jonnu Smith for like 60 yards.
Well, it was funny because at first it's like, oh, well, wow, there goes Derrick Henry again. And Glenn and John Glennon sitting next to me. He's like, what the heck? Like halfway through the run, realizing that it was Jonnu Smith.
Might actually have been faster than Derrick, which is hard to do.
Think about it. There can't be a team in the league that has three guys like Derrick Henry, Jonnu Smith, and A.J. Brown. Like,
that are 230
fast,
pounds.
Fast, but also incredibly hard to tackle. Yeah. Like, punish people who try to tackle them. There's plenty to like about this team and to look and say, there are some building blocks. I think that the whole season from 2-4 to this, in that game to the end, and in a lot of other games, there's a lot of fight.
There are things to be proud of if you are a Titans fan, but it doesn't take the sting away from the loss at all.
Yeah, and the reality of, again, we wondered how that secondary in its current state would do. They held it together, but again, two plays and then Hopkins at the end is just, you just can't deal with them. And now moving forward, you got the Saints and you get more Texans after that. They've got to figure out a way to manufacture. And I know Dean Pease is very good at manufacturing pass rush, even when he's not getting it from his pass rushes. But they've got to figure a way to manufacture more of it.
Yeah, a couple of positive stats here for the Titans. They scored 20 points in the second half. That is their sixth consecutive game of doing that, which ties the 97 Green Bay Packers for the second longest streak all time in NFL history. If you guys remember the 1950 Rams, of course, they have the record. The old 1950 Rams, eight consecutive games of scoring 20 points in the second half. The Packers in 97 are tied for second, and the 2019 Tennessee Titans are tied for second as well. A.J. Brown in his last four games, 29 targets, 20 receptions, 447 yards, four touchdowns. That's three 100-yard games in his last four. And this is also one of my favorite nuggets here. The Jonnu Smith run was the longest rush by a tight end in the NFL since 1976.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's a great stat. Do you know
those
who
are
was
some positives? They mentioned his name on the broadcast. I didn't write that down.
1950 Rams, by the way, Norm Van Brocklin.
That's right. I like it when your voice goes into
Elroy Hirsch.
Your voice even went into 1950s broadcaster
guy. Norm Van Brocklin.
He was the bee's knees. Like you know, you're doing 1950s broadcast guy.
That's right.
Champ. How you doing, Champ?
Van Brocklin and Elroy Hirsch.
So there were some positives. Again, I thought the fight was there. But I think if we're looking at the defensive side of the ball, you don't have a lot of positives. You need more from Jeffrey Simmons and Jarrell Casey up the middle. Harold Landry, I thought actually, you know, he made a mistake on a spy late in the game on Deshaun Watson, but there was a penalty on the play anyway, so it would have resulted in a first down anyway. But he got to Deshaun a few times, and Deshaun just did special things to get away from pressure. And I think next week against Drew Brees, your hope is that that doesn't happen. Those blitzes or those edge rushes get home. The fight to come back, the 20 points in the second half, the way Derrick Henry gritted through the pain. I mean, you can spin some of this stuff and say, all right, you like that, you like this, but it just wasn't good enough. The special teams in the secondary still cost you, and the Texans made plays in the second half, period. Simple as that. And DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson they were too good in the second half. So if you want to chime in, 615-737-1025. The text line, of course, 615-737-1025. If you want to get in, we'll give you next segment to give us your thoughts. How dejected are you right now on a scale of 1 to 9 and 7? What is your how do you feel about the Titans? Because they still have a path to the playoffs. This is not the end of the year, folks. This is not this is not elimination territory here. But yesterday, the Texans took complete control of the AFC South. Your thoughts on all of this when we return right here, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game, 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. Joe Rex wrote in for Derek Mason. Continue to tweet at 1025_MD your worst holiday Christmas party experience, office Christmas party experience. We're trying to lighten the mood here a little bit on a Monday morning after the Titans lose, and really, frankly, a terrible weekend in the mid-state area. If you're a Tennessee Vols fan, the basketball team played terrible basketball, really, really ugly basketball, especially from the veteran backcourt for the Vols against Memphis, and for Memphis to go into Thompson Bowling Arena and get a win without its best player was a big statement, I think, for Penny Hardaway, and the 31-game home winning streak for the Vols falls. And then the Preds, of course, giving up a 4 spot, I believe, right in the second period against the Dallas Stars. They fall 4-1, just an ugly performance from the Preds. And the Titans losing yesterday could not stop the Texans in the fourth quarter. Just an ugly weekend in the mid-state area there, Joe.
Tough. Yeah, it's when you put it like that, put it all together. The Preds, I did not. I was actually at Thompson Bowling Saturday, covered the Tennessee-Memphis game. Like you said, Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden, I believe, are 3 for 21 combined. Didn't get to see the Preds, but the reaction after the game, clearly there's a lot of frustration right now in that locker room.
Yes, no question. We'll get to a little bit more of the other things around the area. Joe Burrow, of course, winning the Heisman Trophy, a really emotional scene Saturday. We'll get to some of that coming up in just a few minutes. But a few minutes for you guys to chime in on the text line and on the phone lines. And Adam leads us off here on Morning Drive. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, BG. So, man, I told you a few weeks ago that I wouldn't call you as long as everybody was winning. Well, every single team lost. So I figure it's a good time to reconnect, man. I'm not sad today, man. I'm not sad at all. This just proves that Tanny's Titans are way different than the team, weeks 1 through 6. We fought with a team that was really good. They're a very good football team. And it's 24-21, man. We had a shot. I'm not sad. We still got to, Tampa's tough. So they got to go in there and they've got to take the division if they want the division. I think we got a really good shot against New Orleans. It's all still out there for us. Pittsburgh sucks. They will crumble in the following 2 weeks. We just have to do our part. But I really hope we can get a home playoff game here, man. I've never been to one. But, no, I'm not sad today, man. I know there's a lot of bitter Twitterers out there, man. But I don't think the world's coming to an end. It looked like a, a really hard-fought division game at the end of the year. Our kicker sucks, so that's a thing. But other than that, man, I just think it's, end-of-year football, and, let's see what happens the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and Adam, listen, I respect the optimism there. I really do. And I have no, as a fan who is sort of, I don't like it when my team's favored. I don't like it when my team is the 14-2 one seed. I don't like that. I am the guy who likes playing as the underdog personally, just as a fan of my team, who, by the way, clinched a playoff spot yesterday. As an owner of that franchise, I'm proud of the job Matt LaFleur has done. I don't like being in this place where everything feels so great. Just like, that's not where I am as a fan personally. I'm okay. More of a cynic. Maybe it's because I work in this business, but I respect people like Adam. We're going to say, because listen, the Titans have absolutely a chance to make the playoffs. There's no question about this. You win two games, you go 10-6. There is a good season to be talked about. There's a switch at quarterback to be talked about, big picture. There are a lot of A.J. Brown, Jeffrey Simmons, the draft class from John Robinson, in a very short sample size, looks like the real deal. Some guys are developing in previous draft classes. Kenny Vaccaro looks like a brilliant move by John Robinson. There are many things to be excited about moving forward. And you still can make the playoffs. The Steelers lost last night to Buffalo. Jameis Winston is playing weird football, but productive football. They could beat the Houston Texans next week. It's still very much a possibility that they're playing a playoff game.
Yeah, it's not over yet. The Chris Godwin, Munson delivered. I didn't realize Chris Godwin is out for the Bucs Saturday. That's
hamstring.
Tyler on the
text. Not ideal.
Tyler on the text line just said the problem with Tampa is that both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are out for the Titans next week. It's like, no, they don't play for the Titans, but they're out for the Titans.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like you said, look, you said earlier on the show, Steelers at Jets, hey, it's the NFL. I watch the Steelers, and I say, how the heck did they go into that game 8-5? I mean, Mike Tomlin is my coach of the year.
They're 7-2 in their last nine.
That's incredible. But I agree. Like, they're just – I mean, they're a solid defensive team. I don't know how they get anything done offensively. So, yeah, they could lose that game. The Ravens may not be playing anybody of importance in the end, but you never know. It's still a rivalry game. It's still on the road. Lots still out there. I still think of all of it, it's this week, and of course this is all the Titans are going to talk about this week, and sometimes you get sick of the, oh, we're just focused, tunnel vision, one week. But no, that's this week, winning this game to me, that's of all of it, the thing that I look at and say, man, I just don't know. Like, they've got to figure some stuff out defensively. I think the one thing they can do that they need to do that they didn't do yesterday is that offense needs to come out from the start and put points on the board. And, of course, they were about to, but then the Ferkser play happened.
And their first drive, 7 plays, 72 yards, block field goal.
Right.
Like, they got inside the 40 twice out of their first two drives. The first three offensive possessions twice were 70 plus yard drives that resulted in 0 points
and resulted in essentially delivering points the other way,
right?
The way that wacky play turned out.
And one of the stats that I think is a quote unquote nouveau stat, or it's not really sabermetrics, but trips inside your opponent's 40 yard line and trips inside your own 40 yard line for the opponent, how many points do you gain every time you get inside the other team's 40 yard line, I think is one of the more critical statistics. And at one point they had four trips inside the first three, I think, resulted in no points because of the fake punt, as well as the interception and the blocked field goal. So your first three times inside the Texans 40 resulted in 0 points.
And you're moving the ball.
And you had tons of yards at halftime. So you had opportunities. The offense didn't finish drives. Then the second half, the story was the defense not getting stopped. So, again, there was a lot of fight in this team. There's a lot of positives to be taken away. And, again, a 10-6 record is still very much growth, in my opinion, because of the switch at quarterback. What happens elsewhere? Do the Pittsburgh Steelers lose one of two? Do the Texans lose to the Buccaneers this weekend? The Titans now need some help. And that's sort of where we're at right now.
I will say this. The Steelers have been in this position before. I remember last year they could have clinched a playoff spot. They end up losing the division to the Ravens. And then all they had to do was beat the Browns. And then they didn't do that. And then all of a sudden they just lose out on the playoffs in the last week of the season. So it could be one of those situations to where the Steelers just beat themselves because they're in that same boat right now.
Yeah.
Same old Steelers?
Old Duck Hodges doesn't exactly inspire...
That's like, no, Duck Hodges. Right, that's,
he actually played on the 1950 Rams. Duck Hodges was the backup quarterback. Now, listen, all hope is not lost here. There is clearly a path, but it probably has to finish with two wins against the Saints and the Texans, who, by the way, your issue yesterday, special teams was a large issue sort of across the board, but more importantly, your defense and in the secondary, the injuries to Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson in particular cost you in a big way yesterday in the fourth quarter. can you cover Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn? Can you then have to, and then you have to stop Deshaun Watson again? So on the road in Week 17, no one says it's going to be easy, but you, I actually feel surprisingly optimistic about the Saints matchup for some reason.
Okay,
because I don't, again, maybe it's just the cynic in me.
They tend to play well against when these they're not elite teams and, at home, and you know, another thing, the end of year, and I haven't looked at all the different scenarios, but if the Texans, let's say the Texans go to Tampa Bay and they win and they are division champs, are they playing for anything in Week 17? I guess it would be really the three, the four.
Now,
they have the tiebreaker.
The Chiefs are 10-4.
So if they don't have anything, is it possible that Bill O'Brien
– yeah.
You know, if the Chiefs, his guys,
if the Chiefs win this weekend, they will go to 11-4, and I guess they could still, in theory, be playing for 11-5 for the Texans. So,
how much, in theory, I mean, how much do you care? I guess too, like if you're that the three mean, or the four, you're getting a home game, you don't get a bye. So,
I mean, if you're telling me it's the Steelers, I care a lot about playing the Steelers. I'd want to play the Steelers of the Titans, Bills, Steelers. I would want to be the three seed so that I could play the Steelers.
So if you won and you got help, then you get the three. But
the problem is you'd rematch Houston probably.
And then you might have Texans Titans again.
So if you're the Texans and you are going into Week 17, already clinched a division as a playoff spot, and you're sitting there at, you'd be 10-5 with a chance to go 11-5. So not only could you eliminate the Titans from the playoffs, but you could also potentially jump the Chiefs into the three seed.
And get the Steelers.
I think you've
That's
got,
probably worth
I think you're
for.
Playing for it at that
That's
point.
That's probably worth playing for.
So I think
honestly, you don't want to play the Titans is, you know, they're a scary team right now.
Out of the three, the Titans are the team you don't want to play, ironically, out of all of this. And they're the ones that could be left out. And we've got, you know, until the day I die to discuss whether or not Tannehill should have started from week one or not. But I'm not getting into that discussion today.
You really think so?
Not today. No. I think this is the old Derrick Henry discussion.
I think that's revisionist crap.
100% agree. And I think it's the same argument with Derrick Henry. Oh, you should have given him the football before. You know, why didn't they run him all first half of last season?
Did you watch him run?
Because he wasn't good.
Right.
Like, he wasn't good.
No, that's the Stillman. I mean,
did give him the football. They gave it to him like 17, 18, and 17 times in the first 3 weeks last year, and he got like 2.5 yards a carry.
Are you listening, Stillman?
And then he looked in the mirror, got benched against the Patriots. David Fulellen went in, and he looked in the mirror and said, I'm garbage, I'm trash, I need to be better, and he's been a stud ever since.
And he said it. Like, take him at his word. Listen to what he's saying. He's not lying.
Right.
No,
it's the same thing with Tannehill.
Yes.
The first 7 years of his career weren't good. So you cannot tell me that he should have been the starting quarterback in week one. There's no way anyone can make that argument. They made the switch when they had to. Marcus made it obvious, and the Tannehill offense has exploded ever since then. What does the offense look like next year or the year after with Tannehill? Who knows? My guess is not perfect. And guess what? Here's the other angle. There's another angle to all of this. That we'll explain when we come back. We'll do a little bit more around the world of sports because there was a Heisman winner. The Vols played a basketball game. You were there. I want to get your thoughts on that. And the Preds lost on Saturday night. So there are other things to discuss than the Titans. But there's one final point on the Titans I want to make here before we get to some other stuff. We'll do that with Joe Rexroad when we come back from The Athletic. In for Derek Mason, my name's Braden Gall. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Inc. studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic in for Derek Mason, recovering from surgery, so he'll be back, I think, tomorrow. Maybe Munson? We'll see. He's recovering. He's day-to-day. He's day-to-day. Game-time decision, Derek Mason. You were at Thompson Bowling on Saturday against Memphis, so I want to get your thoughts on that. Joe Burrow wins the Heisman. You're also a Heisman voter. We'll get to that. And the Preds lose to the Dallas Stars on Saturday. And they did a great job in the first period. They won the first period. And then after that, not so much. They're just not a good hockey team right now, is the way I would look at it. One last point on the Titans, though. And I don't know if this is revisionist. I don't know if it's being too sensitive. Prisoner of the moment. You can correct me, Joe, if you think I'm wrong here. You have no problem normally doing that. I've gone back and looked at this winning streak, and I've always felt this way, but because it's been a winning streak and because they've been finding ways to win, it doesn't really faze me. But now I look back and you go, you needed three goal line stands essentially against the Chargers to win that game. Jameis Winston gave you the ball twice inside of his own 10-yard line to give you two short touchdown drives. You needed two block kicks to beat both the Colts and the Chiefs. They Mahomes threw for like 1,000 yards and had and should have probably scored 45 points in that game. You start to go through the – other than Jacksonville and Oakland, which you were just better than them, right? There weren't any of these games in this winning streak that you were just the better team. You made some big plays. And I don't want to say got lucky because I don't think that's appropriate for a team that's winning games. I think when you figure out ways to win games, you get credit for figuring out ways to win games. But when you're going to win games on blocked field goals and turnovers inside the 10 and, you know, goal line stands, eventually doesn't that come back to bite you?
Yeah, but I think you're talking about the NFL, and I still think you can separate some of those games. You're right. The way this started, the Chargers and Bucks games, definitely they didn't have it all rolling yet with Tannehill. It was better. It was instantly better than with Mariota, but not dramatically better.
I mean, Mike Evans had like 250 yards in that game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this team is still going to be victimized, even when – and that was when they still had – they had their guys then, and it didn't matter. Right. But I think, like, the Chiefs game, yes, it was a block, but also that was a really impressive performance by the offense and an all-around. Like,
totally.
That team looked totally different. You know, like you said, Jags, Raiders, you dominate. The Colts game, yes, it's a block kick to win, but you're down 17-7, you fight back, and you really control that game. Then you come out and get another TD to put it away. Like, that, to me, was still impressive. And if you want to play that game, too, Braden, you can go back to the Colts game that they lost at home, go back to the Bills game they lost at home, all the kicking issues and everything, and you could say, man, those should have been wins, right?
And if Tannehill plays, maybe they make a couple of extra plays, although the defense also gave up big plays in those games as well. Again, I don't think it's fair because, again,
perfect.
Like you said, in the NFL, it's just how you win sometimes. It's just how everything happens in the NFL is this close stuff. But the great teams win games because they clearly are the better team. They show up from start to finish, and they're the better team. And even against Oakland, you went down the field, turned the ball over. They went down the field and took a 7-0 lead. In the Colts game that you win, you're down by 10 in the third quarter. It's not like it was just we were the better team from start to finish. Against the Jags, they were the better team from start to finish. No question about it. So this felt like one of those where you can't live on borrowed time every single week when you also started the season slowly with 2-4 and you also are turning the ball over a little bit. Now you've also got injuries and also your secondary is banged up and special teams are what they are. So we'll get back to more Titans in just a second. But Joe Burrow wins the Heisman. That's obviously a huge story. He was number one on my ballot. I had Justin Fields at number two and Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin at number three. Your ballot for the Heisman Trophy, Joe Rexrod.
Joe Burrow, easy, and everyone who votes for this award should have voted for Joe Burrow, in my opinion.
43
certainly should have had him on your ballot.
43 people did not have them on their ballot.
Yeah, that's bad. Justin Fields, to me, and I think you looked a little differently, but to me he was an easy two. He had an incredible year. I think a year that wins it a lot of times. And the Buckeyes are loaded, and they have a lot of other things going. They had two other candidates, really, for the Heisman on that team, if you count J.K. Dobbins along with Chase Young. But Justin Fields, to me, was the difference maker, and he's why that team can win it all. He was amazing. I went with Jalen Hurts third. I thought he was terrific. I thought, you know, their issues this year, you know, were not related to him. I think he was just a terrific performer all year long. But that was a... There are a lot of ways you could have gone to me for number three. And Chase Young was definitely in my top three most of the year. And then sort of, you know, he just fell off at the end.
So the order finish was Burrow 1, Hurts 2, Chase Young 3, Justin Fields 4, Jonathan Taylor 5, J.K. Dobbins 6. So three Ohio State Buckeyes in the top 6. Trevor Lawrence 7. Tua actually got a first place vote, finished 10th. Joe Burrow records here. Largest margin of victory ever in the history of the Heisman Trophy, 1,846 points. That breaks O.J. Simpson's record. That's a long time ago, folks. Percentage of ballots, 95.5%, the highest ever. Again, that's 4.5% that didn't think Joe Burrow belonged on the ballot. That seems stupid. 93.8% most points ever received by a player. And highest percentage of ballots, 90, or first place votes, excuse me, 90.7. That's 841 first place votes for Joe Burrow. So the most dominant Heisman voting in the history of the award for only the first quarterback ever in LSU history to win the award. Billy Cannon, of course, won it in 1959, the only other LSU player to do it. That is now four SEC players to win it this decade, starting with Cam Newton. And I think, other than Cam Newton, if Joe Burrow finishes the season with the national championship, you have to say it's one of the greatest single seasons by a quarterback of all time. Owns every single passing record in the SEC. The Heisman is on the list. Perfect regular season, 13-0. I mean, most dominant Heisman voting ever. A lot of superlatives for Joe Burrow right now. But that's two more games he's going to have to win to start putting himself in that conversation. Joe Rexford was at Thompson Bowling. Your thoughts on the play? Like, there's two ways to look at this. Credit to Memphis for the job that they did without James Wiseman. And then my issue with Tennessee is going to be they're so backcourt dependent. They don't have a lot of frontcourt size and athleticism. And if they don't have a good shooting night, they can get out-athleted. And it just wasn't a good showing for Rick Barnes' Volunteers on Saturday.
No, and I think you do have to give Memphis credit for Jordan Bowden in particular. They did a great job on him. They were there on the catch. They were trailing him on the screens. I mean, you know, Tennessee heavily relies on getting him shots. And Memphis did a fantastic job against him. Lamonte Turner, to me, I don't look at that as much as a Memphis defensive win as I look at a guy who has a bum shoulder, is asked to run the team, played all but 27 seconds Saturday, also still has to make a lot of shots for this team, also has to guard the other team's point guard slash, you know, best perimeter guy. And I think there's just so much on Lamonte Turner right now. And he is, I don't want to say he's breaking down, but he looked worn out to me, and I think it's a big concern for Tennessee. You mentioned the front court. Look, Fulkerson he's all over the place.
Dude, he got fouled like six times, it felt like, that they didn't call it. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I think I remember
there were
a couple
three or four of them where he had the
so.
Ball in the court. Like, not shooting fouls, but like just loose ball fouls. Like, they just stole it from him, and I'm like, dude, he got hacked. Wrong.
He plays his butt off, and, you know, he's great as a ball screen defender for a big. There's a lot of things about him that you like, but still, like, compare, like, last year when they could just throw it into the post whenever they needed something, and you got Grant Williams, and you got Admiral Schofield, too, by the way. You know, Eve Pons is really...
He's had a nice year so far.
He's coming on. Yeah. His improvement has been great, and they went to him in the high post, and he got him a couple buckets big in that game. But, yeah, I mean, they're limited. They're going to have to play... You know, that kind of defense, and they're going to have to hit – those guys have got to hit shots. And I like that Josiah James stepped up. They're going to need more of that. He has got to be aggressive, take those open shots, attack the basket. And if you do that, then you take a little bit of pressure off the other guys. But I think Memphis, Braden, you know, no Wiseman, no Lester Quinones, and that is a team with – I mean, the length and
athleticism – Are they well-coached, though?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I know that everyone – look. And I wrote this too. Like, unless Penny wins a national title with like the greatest inbounds player devised, people are always going to say, good talent, but no coaching. I did think in the first half, I'm watching, I'm saying, okay, I see four guys standing around. I see one guy attacking, I see one ball
totally undisciplined.
There.
I mean,
but I thought in the second half they ran some good stuff.
Okay.
And I also thought that, you know, I think they got more movement, they got more people involved. And I look. Down the stretch, they had two key plays where, you know, you get the lob, and then you get the drive and the kick out for the three. Those are the two plays of the game. You got to give them credit for poise and execution late. Does that give any credit to the coaching? I mean, I think people want to find reasons they're not well coached, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's the greatest coach team I've ever seen, but.
I don't think it's that big of a...
I liked what they did late in the game.
I don't think it's that big of a criticism to say that Penny Hardaway is going to be on a steep learning curve when coaching against guys like Rick Barnes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, this is a guy who's coaching at this level not very long. And he's got elite athletes. Rick Barnes has got 699 wins. Like, it's a very different level of accomplishment. So not a good day all around for Middle Tennessee as the Titans lose. The Preds lose on Saturday night again to the Dallas Stars. So, you know, as they've righted the ship at Bridgestone Arena, the performance on Saturday evening did not leave a lot to be excited about. And, of course, the Tennessee Volunteers also an ugly performance at Thompson Bowling Arena as Memphis goes in there and wins. We'll get back to the Tennessee Titans when we return. The playoff chances, Texans take control of the division yesterday, 24-21 winners. We'll be right back. Joe Rex right in for Derek Mason, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.